KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's sunny and 42 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be mostly sunny here today with a high near 79. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at Atlantic. Above normal rainfall was received over the last couple of weeks in Iowa, with a statewide average 2.3 inches, as compared to the normal 1.7 inches. However, in its latest water summary report, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources notes that more slow, steady rains are needed to bring us out of the drought. The National Drought Monitor indicates improvement in all categories of drought conditions across the state over the past 2 weeks. Over 35% of the state continues to be rated in moderate drought. Just over 5% is in severe drought. Nearly 60% of the state, however, is now shown without drought or just abnormally dry. Those driest areas continues to be two small locations in west central and southeast Iowa. The DNR says that although shallow groundwater levels in south central, eastern, and northeastern Iowa have benefited from the rainfall, parts of southwest and northwest Iowa received very little rain, and shallow groundwater levels are much lower than the previous April. Water supply operators in northwest Iowa are seeing reduced production, dropping water levels, and historically low levels. Stream flow has improved statewide, but still remains below average. Northeast Iowa remains the wettest, while northwest Iowa is the driest. Groundwater conditions are still low across much of the state, but normal spring rains should continue to bring improvement. Compared to a year ago, shallow groundwater levels are 1 to 4 feet lower in Johnson, Jefferson, Lucas, and Montgomery counties, and the same or slightly higher in Marshall, Fayette, Crawford, and O'Brien counties. Compared to 2 years ago, shallow groundwater levels are some 2 to 12 feet lower in Crawford, O'Brien, Jefferson, Johnson, Lucas, and Montgomery counties. News time is 8:02.
Is your world shrinking? I'm not referring to the size of the planet, but to your surroundings, the part of your world in which you interact. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're beginning to experience a hearing loss, or if you've had one and it's becoming worse, your world really does, in essence, start to shrink. For example, if you're sitting close to someone in a small, well-lit room, it's not difficult to hear the person talking to you. But beyond that easy listening situation, you could begin to struggle. Compare it to being in the woods at night with only a candle. You won't see very much. But if you exchange that candle for a flashlight, your circle will be a bit larger. And then when the sun comes up, you'd be able to see quite a distance. The same thing happens with hearing loss and hearing aids. In your small, well-lit room, your circle is, again, pretty small. But my goal is to help people realize when they're having a problem, and then to try to expand their circle, to get them out of their small room and back to enjoying the world. People's experiences vary, and there's not a one-size-fits-all remedy. But the first step to keeping your circle where you want is to make an appointment. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
Well, persons looking for something to do tomorrow in Cass County have opportunities to get outside and enjoy the forecast mild conditions. The Cass County Conservation Board is holding a couple of events. The first is a wildflower walk at the Pellet Memorial Woods beginning at 9 a.m. Saturday. Join naturalist Laura Canning for a walk through the early spring wildflowers where you can learn their names, uses, and history. Pellet Memorial Gardens is located 1/2 mile north and 3/4 mile east of the KJAN studios on North Olive Street. The second event tomorrow runs from 10 a.m. until noon, also at the Pellet Memorial Woods. And it's a wildflower geocaching walk where GPS units and guides will be available to help you locate early spring wildflowers. You need to pre-register to get a GPS unit, though, by calling 712-249-2372. Elsewhere in the news, officials with Governor Terry Branstad's office say Iowa Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds will continue a series of town hall meetings across the state, including one set to take place in Corning on May the 6th. Other such events will take place in Pella and Rhinebeck. Reynolds will talk about the importance of giving students a first-rate education in the areas of science, technology, engineering, and math. A meeting in Corning will be held at the Corning High School Gymnasium beginning at 1:30 p.m. on Tuesday, May the 6th. In addition to Reynolds, Governor Branstad and Chris Russell, Data Center Operations Manager for Google and Council Bluffs, will be in attendance, and the public is also invited to attend that town hall meeting, of course. Lieutenant Governor is the co-chair of the Governor's STEM Advisory Council, along with Mary Adringa, CEO of the Vermeer Corporation. The council's goal is to raise student interest and achievement in science, technology, engineering, and math, and building a stronger STEM workforce pipeline. The town halls are updating Iowans on the progress being made by the council, showcasing student STEM presentations, and seeking feedback from community members about how the council should set STEM priorities as they move forward. Governor Branstad, Mary Adringa, and local business leaders will join Reynolds at select town halls. Over 200 delegates of the Democratic Party from 16 counties will meet tomorrow at the Kern Middle School in Council Bluffs for the 3rd Congressional District Convention. Cass County Democratic Party Chair Sherry Telly says the convention consists of delegates from 16 county conventions, meeting to help create the state Democratic platform, send delegates onto the state convention, and select candidates for the state central committee. Cass County residents who were elected as delegates at the Cass County Democratic Convention in March include Sherry Telly and Dale Whitaker, both of Atlantic, and Karen Thompson of Cumberland. The alternates are Armando Rosales, Rusha Salapa, and Helen Stillian, all from Atlantic. The delegates from the convention will meet with those of the other Iowa districts in June in Des Moines to set up the leadership of the party and hammer out a final platform to inform the public where the Iowa Democratic Party stands on the issues. 5 Republicans who are vying for their party's U.S. Senate nomination gathered for a 90-minute forum last night, agreeing on most issues but disagreeing on a few, like whether National Security Agency leaker Edward Snowden is a hero or traitor. Mark Jacobs says if the federal government looks at records, there should be probable cause.
There ought to be reasonable belief that there's been a crime committed, and I think that makes a lot of sense. I think part of the failure we have is a failure of oversight of this program on the part of Congress, and also we didn't have appropriate whistleblower programs. I'm glad Edward Snowden raised the concerns he did. I wish he wasn't sitting in Russia, that we would have had the appropriate channels in our country for him to raise those.
Joni Ernst of Red Oak pointed to the constitutional protection against unreasonable searches and seizures.
I think there is a portion of me that says I am glad that he brought to light that we were looking at private citizens' emails, tracking conversations. But again, we have to protect their Fourth Amendment rights, those citizens of the United States. But on the other side, I do view him as a traitor for releasing that information.
Sam Clovis says he still has a very high security clearance from his work as a contractor for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security.
I nearly lost my job in 2003 because I spoke out against the Patriot Act. And that's one thing that I said, because this would be the abuse that would take place. And guess what? I take no pleasure in saying I told you so. On the other side of it, I see the issue here of him revealing classified sources. That's wrong, and he ought to be punished for that.
Matt Whitaker says it's time to terminate any federal program that is spying on Americans.
We certainly need to gather intelligence on foreign nationals that could do harm to our country, and I saw that as United States Attorney. But what we can never do is injure the constitutional rights, especially the Fourth Amendment rights of our American citizens.
Whitaker, along with Ernst and Clovis, all support 12-year term limits on members of Congress. Candidate Scott Chabon strongly opposes that concept.
If you don't like people that are in Washington for more than 12 years, vote them out as a party. Here we have a 5-way primary. Why haven't we had 5-way primaries on incumbents before? Because people are afraid of it. If you don't like the job your elected official's doing, you shouldn't be afraid to primary them. Primary them. Vote them out.
Jacobs agreed, saying term limits would make it harder for legislators from small states like Iowa to gain influence within Congress. The Senate candidate forum was broadcast live on Iowa Public Television. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, President Obama says he plans to call key European leaders this evening to lay the groundwork for possible further sanctions against Russia. Obama, who's in South Korea today, says Russia has failed to uphold a deal with Ukraine to de-escalate the crisis. He says if Moscow invades eastern Ukraine, broad sections of Russia's economy may have to be targeted next. South Korea's government is acknowledging that some of the bodies recovered from a sunken ferry have been misidentified. There have been several reports in South Korea media this week of bodies going to the wrong families, and the government has announced changes to prevent such mistakes from happening again. Divers so far have recovered 183 bodies, and 119 people are still missing. Suicides across the military are on the decline. They dropped by more than 15% last year, and that gives some hope that prevention programs and increased efforts to identify troops at risk are having some effect. But the numbers also show an increase in the number of Army National Guard and Reserve soldiers who took their own lives last year. Army officials say that number exceeds the number of active duty soldiers who committed suicide. News time is 8:10.
You're home most of the time just watching television, and you don't have any problems hearing the TV, so you don't need to have your hearing tested.
At family functions, everyone pretty much leaves you alone anyway. So you don't need a hearing evaluation?
At the doctor's office, your wife asks all the questions, and she'll help you get all the medications right once you get home. You don't need to hear everything the doctor says.
When everyone at coffee is laughing and having a good time telling jokes, it doesn't bother you. You just laugh along with them so they don't think you didn't get it. The fact that you missed the punchline is okay. You don't like dumb jokes anyway, and you definitely don't need to get your hearing evaluated.
During your last performance evaluation, you didn't get the raise you expected. Your boss says he's tired of repeating instructions, and if things don't improve, your job might be in jeopardy. Maybe it is time to get your hearing checked.
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're tired of missing out on quality time with your family, of missing the punchlines with your friends, and maybe even falling behind at work, there is hope. Take control of your life. Call today for a hearing evaluation. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
In our funeral announcements, Helen Welch, age 79 of Menlo, died Tuesday in Des Moines. A funeral mass for Helen Welch will be held today at 10 o'clock at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stuart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stuart has arrangements. Martha Whetstone, age 88 of Guthrie Center, died Sunday. Funeral services for Martha Whetstone will be today at 10 o'clock at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Mary Baldus, age 95, who's formerly of Carroll, died Sunday in Minnesota. A massive Christian burial service for Mary Baldus will be today at 10:30 at the Holy Spirit Church in Carroll. Odie Twitt Funeral Home in Carroll has arrangements. Wilma White, age 95, of Greenfield, died Monday at the Greenfield Manor. Funeral services for Wilma White will be today at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Carl Johnson, age 92, of Lewis and formerly of Atlantic, died Saturday. Memorial services for Carl Johnson will be today at 1 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Milton Craig, age 86, of Stuart and formerly of Menlo, died Sunday. Graveside services for Milton Craig will be today at 2:30 at the Rose Hill Cemetery in Menlo. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stuart has arrangements. Thomas Tom Ingersoll, Jr., age 60, formerly of Villisca, died December 29th in California. A celebration of life service for Tom Ingersoll, Jr. will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Nelson Boylan Lorette Funeral Chapel in Red Oak. Charles Barrett, age 88, of Harlan, died April the 8th at the Avoca Nursing and Rehab Center. Memorial services, April the 18th, that is, at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Memorial services for Charles Barrett will be held on Saturday, tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Gail Vandenberg, age 93, of Harlan, died Wednesday at his home. A massive Christian burial service for Gail Vandenberg will be held on Monday at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. The Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Harlan in charge of arrangements. Clara Simons, age 80, of Harlan, died April 16th. Funeral services for Clara Simons will be May the 2nd at 11 a.m. at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has arrangements. Bonnie Nielsen, age 88, of Council Bluffs, died Thursday in Omaha. Services for Bonnie Nielsen are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton. And Raymond Miller, Jr., age 73, of Stuart, died Saturday. Memorial services for Raymond Miller, Jr. will be held at a later date. The Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. That is a check of the news and funeral announcements brought to you this hour by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.